Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, we'll talk with a tech blogger who took a year off from the internet. We'll talk with him about his re-entry into the wired world. We'll also speak with a memoirist and now self-help author, Augustine Burroughs, on what we can learn from his mistakes. But first, a closer look at Salon.com's headline that got our attention. Is Michael Pollan a sexist pig? What followed was a book excerpt by the writer Emily Matcher. In it, she defended the femivores. That's the growing movement of chicken raising, garden tending, baby food making women embracing the new domesticity against writers like Pollan, who trace the downfall of the family dinner to working women outside of the home. Emily Matcher is online with more on her new book, Homeward Bound, Why Women Are Embracing the New Domesticity. And Emily, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No, we probably should address that sacred cow right off the bat. What does Michael Pollan's role in the food movement ring? Why does it ring as sexist to you?
Well, look, I think, you know, Michael Pollan, who I don't think is actually a sexist pig, I think just makes, like many food writers, a lot of, you know, very sexist and classist assumptions and says some, you know, pretty historically inaccurate things about the downfall of home cooking. I think there's this conception that that a lot of us have that, you know, before, say, you know, the mid-20th century, women were really enjoying cooking, and then it was, you know, the evil processed food movement that came along and taught us all to view cooking as drudgery, and, you know, feminism taught women to not, you know, not value cooking and to, go to work and, you know, potentially neglect our families. And I think, you know, writers like Michael Pollan sort of continue that myth. And I just don't think that that is a historically accurate way of looking at things.
Here he is in the New York Times Magazine dismissing The Feminine Mystique, Betty Friedan's book, as the book that taught millions of American women to regard housework, cooking included, as drudgery, indeed as a form of oppression. So you identify this as the myth of the way food used to be. Is
right.
it possible, Emily Matcher, that women did not love being in the kitchen?
A lot of women didn't, and it's pretty clear when you look back historically, you know, for hundreds of years, women have been talking about, you know, how difficult it is to cook day in and day out and feed families three meals a day all year round. And there have always been people that love to cook, you know, just like there are today. There have always been people who love to cook, and there have always been many people who found it very difficult. And certainly, especially historically, cooking was really backbreaking. It was hot, it was heavy, hauling water from wells, you know. This was not the sort of, you know, the fun cooking that, you know, hobbyists do today. So, you know, a lot of people did view it as drudgery, and that wasn't, that was long before feminism, you know, was an idea in anybody's mind. So really, you know, Betty Friedan chronicled the problem, but she didn't invent it.
Well, before Betty Friedan's book was published, convenience foods were pretty popular in the U.S. I guess there was something more to it, something more to changing the American diet than just women at work.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the convenience foods came in after World War II. People had the companies had created all sorts of new processed foods for the war. And then after the war, you know, when the military didn't need it anymore, they tried to turn it to the domestic market. And, you know, they really pushed it. And, you know, at first people were resistant. You know, women weren't sure about, you know, all this canned stuff and this frozen stuff. But eventually people adopted it. You know, people do want convenience. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the convenience foods had to be so unhealthy and in many cases, you know, really not very tasty.
Let's talk about this new domesticity then, the femivores, a term coined by the writer Peggy Orenstein. Mm-hmm. What does it look like? How does it jive with these conflicting messages about women losing time and money when they focus instead on the home and hearth instead of the workplace?
Well, you know, as I chronicle in my book, there's sort of a really big movement among women and also some men to sort of focus more on the domestic realm. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, quitting your job, although for some people it does. But it means sort of a shift in values that I think we're really seeing among people in their 20s and 30s, you know, going, you know what, I don't want to, you know, put all my emphasis on work. I want, you know, I also value things in the home. I want to do more things myself. A lot of this has to do with environmentalism. A lot of this has to do with people being concerned with where their food comes from. So you're seeing a really robust movement of people that are really devoting a lot of time and energy to doing a lot of what you might consider old-fashioned domestic DIY stuff, you know, canning their own jam, baking bread, cooking everything from scratch. You know, you've got people growing their own veggies. That's become much more popular. You even hear about people raising chickens in their backyard, which, you know, is still a minority thing, but it's, you know, grown immensely just in the past few years.
Well, you say that this gives a kind of the idea of femivorism, I guess, gives a kind of legitimate layer to embracing homemaking without becoming Betty Draper, you know, the blonde housewife on Mad Men.
Right.
But how about you? Have you embraced it? How is your cooking? How is your home life different than your mother's or your grandmother's?
You know, my home life is different in that I actually, you know, I really love to cook. And, you know, my grandmother certainly did not particularly like to cook. And she certainly relied a lot on the convenience foods of the day. I think that I enjoy to cook because I have the privilege of doing it really whenever I choose. You know, my grandmother didn't have a choice about it. She had to feed her kids. You know, her husband certainly wasn't going to do any of the cooking. You know, here I am. My husband also loves to cook. And when we don't want to cook, you know, we can get, you know, something from Trader Joe's, or we can, you know, get takeout or whatever. And I think, you know, a large part of why people are embracing this so much is because we've become pretty removed from, like, the daily grind of cooking as our grandmothers experienced it.
Why do you think that women are still so underrepresented outside of the home in chef roles or as thinkers like Michael Pollan, for example, yet consistently do take the lead on food at home?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I mean, it's very dramatic. You see, you know, on the Food Network, you know, in cooking writers, you see men as, you know, the gurus and men as the chefs and women as the home cooks. And I just think, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, historical attitudes that, you know, that men are chefs and women are home cooks, that men do the fun, interesting public cooking and women do the daily chore of cooking. And, you know, that's still borne out in American homes. A lot of men really like to cook, but women cook still something like almost 80% of home meals. I think that's slowly changing. Younger men certainly like to cook a lot more. You know, I see that in my own home. My husband cooks as much as I do, and I see that with, you know, a lot of my friends. But I think, yeah, there's still a lot of sort of historical prejudice against, you know, men doing the daily cooking and women having more public roles as chefs. You know, kitchens can be very sort of macho places, and that's been quite slow to change.
Emily Machar's new book is called Homeward Bound, Why Women Are Embracing the New Domesticity. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've posted an excerpt from Salon that's called Is Michael Pollan a Sexist Pig? That's on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio.